Amen. Please take a seat. Thank you for that word. And thank you, Lord, that we are new creations. The old has gone and the new has come. And our journey of life is one of sanctification. It's an ongoing journey, a lifelong work of sanctification, moving from glory to glory to glory to glory. Amen. Right, into the unknown. We don't know what's ahead, do we? No, we don't. Now, I hope some of you have watched the movie Finding Nemo, because we're going to watch a little bit of it. If you haven't seen the movie, we are going to see a scene at the beginning of the movie where the children coral reef animals have been let off. It's the first day of school, and they've been nipped to the edge of the coral reef to see the edge of the coral reef. And there's a particular dad who's particularly unimpressed and fearful about letting his son go off. But it's worth seeing if you haven't seen it. As you go into the new year, do you feel a little bit like one of those creatures? Are you on the edge of the coral reef looking into the open ocean and wondering what on earth lies ahead? Are you in awe of the emptiness and the size that lies before the year before you? Are you a bit like the daddy clownfish who's scared of everything and really doesn't want to get going? Or are you a little bit like you're happy to step in a little bit, but you don't want to go too far away from the edge of what you know? Or are you a scientist, which was the character I hope you picked up, who's going to have all the answers to everything? And if you do look into the ocean ahead of you, do you see certain things that are ahead? They could see something. They understood it to be a butt, and a big butt. But it wasn't. It was a boat. They didn't know what it was. So what can you see ahead of you in that year? But do you have real clarity about what it is, or do you not? It's probably got an idea, but you won't have the full picture. All of us face both the practical journey ahead of us of life, of doing our natural life, but also that's all wrapped up in the journey, the spiritual journey that also surrounds all of that. So I wonder how you're feeling going into the new year. I should say, you could be incredibly excited. I hope you're excited. I hope that would be the ideal, just wanting to embrace. And in fact, the next stage of that scene is that Nemo turns around and says, "I'm not having any of this, I'll show them." And he swims out to the butt, beyond anywhere else. So I leave that hanging. And now I want to take us into Exodus. Exodus 13, if you've got a... if you've got a Bible with you. And I want to just delve into one of the central stories of Israel. And just pick out a few things for us as we step into the new year. And I'm going to read Exodus 13, 17 to 22, and then I'll go into 14. And this is the crossing of the Red Sea. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they would travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. This is part of one of the core stories for the nation of Israel. It's celebrated, as you know, annually. The scriptures continually refer back to this Exodus moment when they left Egypt and headed to the promised land. Why? The big picture is that they had been in slavery for hundreds of years, and this was the picture of God's redemption. This was God setting the slaves, the captives, free, and ultimately fulfilling his promise to his people. God fulfills his promise and promises. And you know the story. There was the plagues. Pharaoh kept saying no, kept resisting. Moses kept going back and saying, please let my people go. And he kept saying no. And eventually, after the death of all the firstborn, they were released. And they headed off into the desert. They were then chased by Pharaoh. They got caught next to the Red Sea. What was going to happen? And of course, God opened up the Red Sea and they went through. Pharaoh followed. The sea crashes in and destroys Pharaoh and his army. And then, with great jubilation, the Israelites set off on their journey. But of course, we know the story. It's not a simple journey, is it? There's grumbling, there's disobedience, there's rebellion. There's, why can't we go back to Egypt? There's, I'm thirsty, and God produces water. I'm hungry, produces manna. I'm still hungry, and I just don't want bread, I want meat. Okay, and there's the quail. And then they get shown the promised land. They're a bit frightened. They're a lot of frightened. They don't go in there, they're not obedient, and they go around for 40 years. But they eventually make it to the promised land. That's the big story, condensed into 2 minutes. It's a well-known story, and you know it. As we step into the unknown of this new year, and to be honest, into the next stage of all of our lives, what can we take from this story, this testimony? Because it's not a story, it's not a make-believe, it's a truth. It's a testimony of God's goodness in the reality of what happened. So what can we learn? Well, a couple of things to start with. When the Israelites headed out of Egypt, they didn't head off with a map. They didn't know where they were going. They knew the ultimate destination, but they didn't know how they were getting there. And they didn't go with a map. The time between Egypt and arriving in the promised land was an unknown journey. And what did they do? And how did they manage that journey? They followed God. They followed the cloud by day and the fire by night. They followed God. They trusted God to take them where they were supposed to go. Or so they should have done. And they did most of the time. God led them into the unknown. And in fact, I loved it. It was interesting that I've not really picked up before, recognized that Pharaoh thought that they were wandering around because that would make them look as if they were confused. Do our lives sometimes look a bit confused? Do we look at our lives and the journey it's taken and think, what on earth does my life, why have I done that when I'm supposed to go from here to here? Doesn't it look confusing sometimes? But actually, particularly at that stage, it was absolutely intentional. That's what God wanted them to do, because that was how he was going to defeat Pharaoh and also enable him to do the most extraordinary miracle of crossing the Red Sea. But all the Israelites could do, they didn't know what was coming up. All they did was have to trust God and follow the fire or the cloud. And of course, they could only see what the cloud was doing today. They couldn't know where the cloud was going tomorrow or next week. They just knew what today looked like. And they had to trust God in the coming days ahead of them. So that was the first thing I wanted to highlight for us in that story. The second one is doubt and unbelief. Israel constantly doubted and were discouraged and grumbled. And yet every time God came through with a miracle. I'm thirsty, Lord. We're thirsty. What did Moses do? Hit his staff on a rock and the water came flowing. We're hungry, manna, quail, and so on. Every time Israel grumbled or were uncertain, God came through with a miracle. And of course that went on. The Red Sea, they think they're trapped. But the Red Sea opens. And ultimately, think of the miracle of Jericho as they enter the promised land as well. I mean, what a mad way to go and defeat your enemy, circling and walking around the city of Jericho. But God came through. They trusted, ultimately, or we need to trust God. We need to trust God in our journey. He will come through for us. And the third thing is because of doubt and unbelief, it can often make the journey harder or perhaps more complicated. I don't want to set up something and cause us confusion. But the reality was, because of the grumbling and the unbelief of the Israelites who refused to move into the promised land the first time they have an opportunity, they had a much more complicated journey to ultimately get to their destination. There is no doubt with God about us reaching our destination. We can be absolutely assured of God's destination for us. And ultimately, what does that look like? That's eternal life, living in his loving arms. That's our ultimate destination. But the Israelites' unbelief caused a more complex journey for them, spending 40 years in the desert, journeying around, being taught and being shaped into the people of God. But if we trust in God, he will take us the route that he wants to take us, not the one that we will choose otherwise. How often do we think we get in the way of what God has for us because of our own fear or our unbelief or because we want to control the unknown? I think probably quite often. But if we just release ourselves to the Lord and allow him to be the one who shapes our steps. What's that Proverbs 16:9, isn't it? Man makes his plans, but it is God who shapes our steps. We can make our plans, but God will ultimately shape our steps. So there are those three things that I think we can take out and think about for the future. Do you know what? There is no map for 2019. And you and I don't know what lies in store for us. We might have some ideas, we might have some butts that we can see, but they're not necessary boats. What are they? There's no map. Are we going to trust in the Lord? God comes through. He loves us. He's a God of miracles. He will take us through the journey that he wants us to journey on. And actually, if we trust him and abandon ourselves to him, the road is probably going to be straighter than the one that we would choose to get to that ultimate destination. So what two other core things can we bring out of this and sort of reflect on what the Israelites experiences? The problem for the Israelites, and I know I'm incredibly vulnerable to this myself, in fact, consistently. But the Israelites kept focusing on their circumstances. They kept looking on what was going on around them rather than keeping their eyes fixed on the character of God. If God was calling them out of Egypt to take them to the promised land, then God's probably the best judge on how to do that and the journey to which we should go on. But so often we focus on what is going on around us and forget to say, okay, Lord, you're trustworthy, you're all powerful, you're all sovereign, you're the one I'm going to focus on and I'll trust. What are you telling me? Not what's going on. I know that circumstances I allow constantly to crowd in upon me and shape my thinking, and I want to take control. I want to say, this is too difficult or too confusing. I want to take control. I'll shape it because then I'm in control and I know where it's going. And of course, that's living out of fear and control rather than trusting and allowing God to lead me. I heard someone say it this way. The Israelites never transferred their trust from the circumstances of the miracle onto the God of the miracle. We can get stuck in the miracle. Wow, look what God's just done. But 5 minutes later, a week later, we've forgotten to actually keep focusing on, but it's God who produced that miracle. He's the source of all power. He's the source of all goodness, not ourselves or that miracle. We need to be people rooted in the character of God. We need to be people, as we step forward, trusting God and keeping our eyes on God, knowing that He is the ultimate solution. I was thinking particularly where could I really relate to that? And I remember a few years ago I was in a job and there was a leadership meltdown. It was a deeply painful time, but it was a time that I could only do what I could do. I could not influence what was going around me, but I really wanted to, and there were things, and the thing that I just learned out of that was trust me. There were two things that took me into the beauty of the Psalms, because I didn't know where else to go, and I just found the Psalms spending the whole time saying, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. And that time saying, I don't know how to influence what's going on. I don't know how to get out of this situation or not necessarily get out, but how to influence. All I can do is just know that God was right in the middle and I just had to be obedient to Him on a daily basis. And of course, all of this applies to whether we're in the good times, the bad times, the okay times, the ups and downs. Every single one of us in the coming year will have mountaintop experiences with God. In our lives. I guarantee it. But we're going to hit the valleys as well. Because do you know what? That's just life. Sadly. But that is just the nature of humanity, a broken world and life. There are going to be ups and downs for every single one of them. And we have no idea when they're going to hit us and what they're going to be. I mean, I pray, and we should be praying for all of us, that actually, is that lovely smooth? Actually, I'm not sure we want it lovely and smooth, because then we'd miss out on the mountaintops. But that is the reality of life. And we could never imagine, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to reflect on last year. I'm going to ask you to thank the Lord for some things. I'm going to ask you to think, wow, Lord, that hurt, and then give it back to the Lord. And I'm going to ask you to think about the coming year. But that is the reality of what we face. And I suppose the question is, how are we going to step off that coral reef that we've known, which is our past and our what we know, and be prepared to step into the open ocean? This is a lovely, this is all about us growing and moving on. Who knows that God Almighty movie? God Almighty? Only some of you. Really? With Morgan Freeman. This is Morgan Freeman. Is it Bruce Almighty? Well, there's a point. Well, whichever it is, that's the one. Has anybody else seen that? Anyway, they go, oh, great. Oh, what did I say? God Almighty. Oh, well, Bruce Almighty. Anyway, there's a moment in there. He's talking to the wife. Who's really struggling. She's walked away from whoever's pretending to be God. And, Bruce, thank you. And God meets her in a bar and they get chatting. And, God just turns around to her and says, if someone asks for patience, do you think God gives that person patience, or does He allow that person to go into situations where they have to exercise patience? i.e. it's a thing that we have to learn and grow. I really struggle with that. Because that means that if I want to grow in certain areas of my life, it means that I've got to be put in those situations to be able to grow. And so, just hold on to that as we step in. You know, if there are places in our life, in our spiritual life, that we want to grow, then God is going to put us in those and give us those opportunities. And I suppose the question is how are we going to respond? More of that perhaps in a moment. What did I put on this? Oh, focus on God, not circumstances. The journey is what's important, not the destination. I'm convinced of this, that the destination, us getting to the destination, whatever that destination is, isn't the ultimate God, isn't the ultimate goal in God's economy. I think it's how we do the journey. I think it's, are we loving? Are we caring? Are we servant-hearted? Are we humble? Do we build around we? Do we declare God's goodness? Do we care for those around us? Whatever it is, I don't believe the goal is the ultimate. The destination is ultimately, because it's all about the journey and a relationship with God and with one another. And so I would just encourage us that ultimately, I passionately believe it's our journey. And I want to get to the destination because I sort of see that lie low and feet up and, you know, cocktail in one hand. Oh, fine, I made it. I can rest. And do you know what? Actually, I don't think God's like that. I don't think that's really what God's about. It's about a relationship with Him. And so it's about the journey and how we respond to the journey. So this year and beyond, as I said, we don't know what's ahead of us. There are some big butts ahead. Maybe you can see. Maybe you can't see any butts ahead of you in the ocean ahead. We are going into the unknown. And some of us will be really excited by that. And some of us will be like the daddy coral clownfish. Can't think of anything worse. Just want to huddle in and keep it safe. But the reality is, it's an unknown, and we can't control it, and the time of journey of our life is moving on. And I suppose, are we going to trust God in it? Are we going to trust God? But there is some really wonderful news. Who led the Israelites, and how did he do it? What's on my next one? There was a cloud during the day, and there was a fire at night. He led them. Now, I don't know if you remember the Christmas theme throughout our services, follow the star. And there was quite a lot of teaching on the light that shone in the darkness. Well, that is that fire, isn't it? The fire shone in the darkness and led the Israelites. Jesus, let me remind you, I taught about this at Christmas. Jesus is the light of the world. And what did Jesus say? If you follow me, you shall never walk in darkness. He's the light, and Jesus dwells in each one of you. Jesus dwells in you, and he dwells in me. He is the person who will lead us every single day. Dare we ask him? Will we have ears to hear? And will we have the courage to say, Lord, what am I supposed to do today? What does this week look like? How am I supposed to respond in that relationship? Jesus is the light of the world. He is our fire. We can ask him. We can listen to him. And we need to be fixing our eyes on him if we're going to do the journey that the Lord has for us. In 2019, why don't we follow Jesus? If we do it in our own strength, that's just control. And do you know what? It's going to be a harder journey than doing it with Jesus. Well, I got that picture. Do you know this one? Well, it's actually in the chapel, of course. Many of you will know it. It's in St. Paul's. It's the Holman Hunt, Light of the World. And there are a couple of things that struck me, not only about this, but also a fire, the pillar, is that the light shows us where its light shines. But around it, there's a lot of dark. And so there is an element of it isn't like suddenly we've got a big lantern and we can see the whole year ahead of us. Actually, the light of the lantern shows us our next steps. shows us just enough to know where to go, but it doesn't show us the whole path. And that's deeply challenging. And there is the faith journey right there. Are we going to say, Lord, what does this week look like? What does today look like? What does this next hour look like? And I think and that was the same for the Israelites. They only saw the pillar of fire, but they couldn't see beyond it. They couldn't see where it was going. They just knew that that's where we were supposed to go. We didn't know when it was going to go left, right, or wherever. So, a couple of summary points, and then we're going to do some praying for one another and ourselves. Accept the unknown as we step into the new year. Accept that, whether that's comfortable or not. And I hope it's exciting, because it can be really exciting. We need to trust God. That's my encouragement. Trust God. He is the God that we know. Know the character of God. He's there for us. Follow the pillar of fire. And that takes us into a place of asking the Lord, listening to the Lord, and not being in control, letting go. It's remembering that it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. How do we cope daily, weekly, monthly? When the things hit us that are not so good, how are we going to respond? How are we going to respond when we hit those mountaintop celebrations and moments with God? How do we absorb those and respond to those? And what does Paul say? He says, be thankful in all circumstances. He doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances. He says, be thankful in all circumstances, good or bad. There is always something to be thankful for. And actually, if we give control back to the Lord, trust him, do you know what? There just may be a chance we're going to enjoy the ride. Many of you will enjoy the ride. Some of us find it harder to enjoy the ride. But actually, if we say, do you know what, God, you are the God of the miracle. You are the God who will get me to my ultimate destination. I can trust you. God, perhaps I can enjoy today rather than be anxious or fearful. Okay, in just now, and then we're going to come back. What I'd love us all to do is just for a moment, in a moment of silence for ourselves, is just ask these three questions. I've got some paper and some pencils if you haven't got something to write with. But just to think, what are you grateful for from last year? What can you say, Lord, thank you? Thank you. We will all have things to be thankful for. What has been hard or painful or difficult or just been uncomfortable? Something to say, do you know what, that was hard. And I want you to give it back to the Lord. Well, that's what I would encourage. If you can. If you can say, Lord, I give that to you. Today is a new day. We start again. And then just think, okay, what are the pleases for the coming year? Lord, what I'd love to see this year is breakthrough here. Or I'd love to see that. Or I'd love to see whatever it may be. And I'd just love us to do that individually ourselves. And then I've got something else to show you. And then what we're going to do is break up into threes. And we're going to pray for one another. And just ask for the Lord for one word of encouragement for each of us. So we should listen for ourselves. We should all have at least three words of encouragement that we can take away and dwell and pray into. So let me just pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, as we just connect with you now, would you bring these things to mind? Stir our hearts to release these things, that we can embrace and share with you right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps those are questions you want to take away a little bit and just sit on or dwell. However, here's another bit of Finding Nemo. I'd love us all to be dancing into the new year like that scene, isn't it? Wonderful. There's the sharks of the year suddenly looking not so frightening because they're not eating fish anymore. Or the dad who's got over all his fears. What did he say? Go and have an adventure. Isn't that a wonderful way to start thinking about the year ahead and the next season for us all? There was joy in that scene. The sharks were not scary. We faced those. They were having lots of fun. And where was the Ray and all the children going? They were going out into the deep ocean, off the reef, into the distance and into the unknown. And as I say, Daddy Clownfish saying, go and have an adventure. So that's my prayer for us all coming into the coming year. So what I would love us all to do is to, and if you've been here before, we have listened to the Lord for one another, and we're going to do that again. We're all designed to listen to the Lord and hear the Lord, his voice. And what I'd love us to do is to get into threes, fours better, and to pray for one another. I would suggest that married couples don't stick with married couples. You split, just to make that more, potentially more comfortable. And just ask the question, Lord, what one word, what scripture, what picture would you have for this person, and pray for each person, one at a time, to give to that person as an encouragement going into the new year. Does that make sense? Yes? A few nods around. And just, we all are designed to hear the Lord. And if that's new to you, that's totally fine. And if you don't hear anything or don't have a sense of clarity about what you're comfortable giving, then that's okay. Don't worry about that. That's fine. Just pray for the other person in your heart. But I'd also like to encourage you that this is a safe place. And we need to be safe with one another. So if you think you've got an idea, you think you've got a picture, you think you may have a verse, offer it in love, and the other person, it's the other person's responsibility to then to speak to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, is this for me? Is this not? You know, that's how it goes. Does that make sense? Any questions on doing that? Okay, let me pray, and then get into twos and threes, or threes and fours, and then pray for another. We'll spend 10 minutes doing that, and then we'll go back into worship. So, Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we all can hear your voice. We're all designed to be able to speak and hear from you. And, Lord, I just want to open our ears, open our hearts, and open our minds to you as we pray for one another. I thank you for the pearls of goodness that you're going to release to each one of us in this time. And I thank you for 2019 and for the adventure that lies before us as a corporate body, but for each of us as individuals too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Faithfulness, for your obedience to listen. And on behalf of everybody else in your group, thank you for the encouragement that you have released to one another this evening in those words. They're precious, and I really encourage you, take those words, take those scriptures, take those pictures, pray, sit, put them in your Bible, have a look at them in 6 months' time or 3 months' time and say, okay, gosh, Lord, what can you speak? What can I learn out of this? What have I learned? And take it forward. But we're going to worship and finish the evening in worship. And in our worship, let's, the things that have stirred us, the words that we've received, let's dwell in those with the Lord and in our sung worship. Over to you.
Well, as Peter's been talking about going into the unknown of the new year, when I was thinking about what songs to use for today, I just could not avoid doing Oceans. Spirit lead me. Well, there's Nemo as well, of course. But Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders.